The reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of hearing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Anyone know how many gifts of the Spirit are mentioned in Scripture? Anyone, any idea? I mean, different people say different, you know, different numbers. So, yeah, I mean, there's 21 that we've done on the surveys, you remember, through your house groups. There's 20, there's 30, you know what I mean, that are around. I'd forgotten one gift that the Lord had given me this week. It actually says it's a gift of the Spirit of celibacy. Do you know what I mean? And so, I feel for people who have, you know, have lost a husband or a wife, lost a spouse, or have been called to singleness, you know, and I keep saying to them, it isn't easy, therefore you actually need the gift of celibacy. Have you asked for that gift? Have you received that gift? Because, and that's one that we don't often mention, do we? You know, no, or maybe you've never heard of it before, but it's actually in Scripture, and it's in your, it's in the notes that are part of the house group this week, just as a reminder that there are lots of gifts of the Spirit, maybe around 30, and as I say, it varies depending on which book you're reading, which commentary you're looking at, but the Lord has many gifts for us. So remember, we're doing this series at the moment, so I thought let's just review what we said last week. So the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are to build God's kingdom on earth, creating a healthy, growing community of disciples that make disciples. That's what we looked at last week, just the basics. We are to earnestly desire the gifts. We are to recognize each one of us has spiritual gifts. The gifts are for the common good, to mature the church, to glorify God through our unity and Christ-likeness. We are to be held accountable for how we use the gifts. And the gifts, we noticed, are different from the fruit. Yeah. So the gifts are how we express the love of Christ to others in concrete and physical ways. Think about that. The gifts are designed so that you can express in words and deeds the love of Christ to others. Yeah. They enable us and others to gain a deeper understanding of Christ and his goodness. And I have a challenge for us at PBBC, and you're not exempt as visitors and friends. I wonder, PBBC, do we want to be a people who express the love of Christ to others through the gifts? Is that who we want to be? Is that who we want to be? And do we want to be a people who are hungry for that deeper understanding of Christ and his goodness that we receive as we share the gifts with one another? Yeah? Is this who we want to be as a church, as a people in Pulborough, or is this who you want to be in Seaford? You know, and the impact you're going to make there. So what about this passage? We're just going to go through each verse just to see what Paul is saying to us this morning. And so we see that in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Paul has realized that there is some misuse and abuse of gifts. And I think a lot of us have been in churches or been in places where perhaps that has taken place. And so Paul is writing to the church saying, hey guys, I need to give you some protocols. I need to give you some guidelines so that you can continue using the gifts. Not that you can stop using them, but that you can continue using them in a way that honors and glorifies God. Does that make sense? So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at what are the protocols that Paul gives to the church. And you notice in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be," what does it say? Uninformed. Yeah. Yeah. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, what does it say? Yeah, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 3. Do not be uninformed. Yeah? Do not be uninformed. The Lord has given us minds and choices. You know, in education, we were constantly thinking about the fact that we are rational and volitional beings. In other words, we have the ability to figure out things. That's how God has created us. And we have a choice to do something with the things that we have figured out. I know when I was younger, I asked the Lord to help me be a robot to stop me sinning, but he didn't. Do you know what I mean? My hero, I think you know this, was Dr. Spock from Star Trek, because he had no emotions and he didn't get himself into trouble. But that is not how God has created us. That's it. He's created us with a mind. He's created us with volition, which means we can make choices. And so Paul is basically saying, look, this is how God's made you. You have the ability to figure these things out. I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you to know. And these verbs in Greek are really authoritative. It's basically what he's saying is, God has given me this authority. He's given me this gift of teaching, the Holy Spirit gift of teaching. And this is really, really important. Yeah? Because we don't get this in English, but in Greek, this is authoritative. This is almost commanding. Do you know what I mean? I really want you to know. I do not want you to be uninformed. And just as the Corinthians did listen to Paul's teaching, we know that all scripture is God-breathed, yeah, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. So in other words, this scripture is relevant to us today. These protocols are relevant to us today. But can we elevate our experiences in line with Scripture rather than saying our experiences will dictate what we think about the gifts? Do you see the difference? Can we actually say, actually, I want to see what Scripture has to say? You know, don't be uninformed. I know we've probably all had good and bad experiences of gifts of the Spirit. But can we see what Scripture says? Can we follow these protocols as a church so that we can minister to others the love of Christ? And so what we see in these verses is that Paul explains to the Corinthian church that unlike the mute idols they used to worship, what he's saying is Holy Spirit does help. Holy Spirit does speak to you. He's already spoken to you through the cards this morning. Yeah, you're worshiping a God who's not mute. Yeah, and Holy Spirit will never violate a person as the demons behind the idols did in Corinth, if you look at the context. They don't take you over. See what I mean? Holy Spirit basically is a gentleman. You know, he will basically say, you know, what do you want? And I'll follow what you are asking for. We know, and this is what Paul was aware of, he's like, you know, you're not following these idols. You're not being taken over by the demons. You know that Satan will always steal, kill, and destroy. But what he's saying here is that the gifts of the Spirit will always recognize Jesus as Lord. You see, he says, don't be uninformed. They're nothing like what you used to worship. These guys, these gifts from the Holy Spirit are really different. And the beauty of that is we know and we can test whether somebody's teaching or their prophecy or their interpreting of tongues or they're giving a word of encouragement or knowledge of wisdom, we know it's from God if it honors Jesus as Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah? If we can recognize this, yeah, and we can say that sounds like something that Father or Jesus would say. And we know that from John 14:26. Jesus said, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes and gives you these gifts, this is what's going to happen. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit with the gifts that gives you will not contradict Scripture. It will be in line with what Jesus says. And John 16:13-14 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, in other words, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. It's so clear, isn't it, that the gifts of the Spirit will promote Jesus as Lord. They will teach us about Jesus and remind us of what Jesus said. The gifts are to lead us into a greater understanding of the fullness of Christ in our midst, in our lives, and in this world and beyond. Therefore, remember, we're rational, volitional beings. We have to ask questions when we hear some of the gifts being used. And these are just some examples of questions we can ask. Does the person and what they're saying contradict or support God's word, his ways, or his will? Because if it does, then we need to test the spirit behind it. Is what the person is saying or doing promoting themselves or giving glory to God? Does what this person is saying or doing represents God's will, which we know his will is to bring heaven to earth, yeah? So that we can see his kingdom break out here. Does the message, you know, is it confirmed in Scripture? Is it confirmed by others? You know, I know and have experienced prophets in the past who go around from church to church, don't put themselves in a community, and come in and want to give you a word. But the idea is that we as a body test that. And they are not coming under the authority of a church and a body. And does the Spirit of God actually confirm in my heart what this person is saying? Yeah. I remember being in a meeting. My friend Amanda and I were asked to come to a meeting by these two guys, and they give consultations to top businesses in the UK. They knew that we'd done this abroad, and so they said, you know, we'd like just to come and talk to you. And really what they were trying to do is to say, can you come become part of our business? Can you come with us and help us as we go into these businesses? And what they did with these businesses was they would prophesy over the people and they would pray for them. And that was the advice they got. They had got heavenly advice for businesses. Now, people who are not Christians were very happy to welcome them in, listen to what the prophetic word says, be prayed for, and see their businesses succeed. And they had a history behind that. It's something that I had done in New Zealand after my friend Amanda had left. She was doing a conference there. She's from Australia. And then they said, can we prophesy over you? And they decided to prophesy over my friend Amanda, who is a prophet. And as they were speaking, I was thinking, that doesn't sound like her. This is really odd. In fact, that sounds more like me. And at the end, you know, Amanda just said, thank you. And when they left and we chose not to be part of their business, I'm not saying they don't always hear from God, but, you know, I said to Amanda, what did you think of that? She said, oh, it was a load of rubbish. Do you mean it just wasn't from God? She has learned, and she's not been uninformed, she has learned to test prophecies. And actually, she was one on the Council of Prophets for Australia and on actually a worldwide prophetic council. But she has chosen to pull herself off of those because the testing was not rigorous enough. Yeah? The testing was not rigorous enough. We have to test the words that the Lord brings. And it's okay to dismiss them. But if somebody can't handle us testing the word that they give, that means there's something wrong inside of them. Do you see? That we need to be open to say, actually, Judith, what you spoke on Sunday wasn't right. I have to be open to that. You know, this is what Scripture says. This is what, you know, this is what theology says. This is our understanding. Can we talk about it? Can we understand this? You have every right to challenge the gift of teaching that the Lord has given me and what I say. Yeah? But obviously, we then also need a protocol to say, well, how do you challenge that? What's the appropriate way? How are we going to determine as a church whether what is being spoken is of God or not? And obviously, the, you know, God's word, his way and his will is the most important way of testing, is this actually true? So protocol one, be informed through personal and corporate study of God's word, relying on the Spirit to help us understand. Listen to Holy Spirit gifted teachers. They will teach you, they will inform you. That's their role, just like Paul did to the Corinthians. And test what is being said is in line with God's words, his ways, and his will. Make sense? Yeah? Happy for this? And let's elevate our experience in line with what Scripture says. Number two, the gifts originate from God. And we've seen in this passage the different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Can you see the Trinity here? You'll find throughout this is about the Trinity. This is about the Spirit, the Lord, and God. And they are involved in gift giving. The gifts are a divine origin. We know that they are to be distinguished from talents. How do you know if somebody's got a talent or a gift? How do you distinguish? Remember, we need to be informed. How do you recognize the difference between a talent and a gift? I'm just checking if you know this already. I don't need to teach it, but obviously, let's just check. So, to me, a talent is something that it's beautiful, it's wonderful. For example, somebody playing the piano absolutely beautifully, yeah? And it brings joy to your heart. Do you know what I mean? Somebody is playing the piano, and it's just like, wow, that was amazing, yeah? However, somebody operating with a gift, a spiritual gift with an instrument, when they touch those keys, when they start playing that instrument, guess what happens? The presence and power of God comes. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? You know that it's a spiritual gift because there'll be a spiritual outcome. I'm not saying that talent isn't good. I'm not saying that talent is bad. And sometimes we find that people with a talent for music, yeah, have also the gift of worship. Do you know what I mean? And they can just lead you into the presence of God. And I've also, I don't know about you, I've seen people with a fabulous talent on the guitar, but they are not gifted. It's a talent. You see, they're not leading you into the presence of God. What they're doing is entertaining you. What they're doing is, you know, you're marveling at them. You are not thinking and turning your attention towards God. You're not glorifying God. Does that make sense? Talent, gifts. Excellent. So protocol two, discern whether the person has a talent or a spiritual gift from God. Because a spiritual gift will always have a spiritual outcome. Number three, the gifts are for the manifestation of the Spirit. Funny word, isn't it, manifestation? But it's simply means become visible, yeah? So each one of you, yeah, the manifestation of the Spirit, remember, is given to you to make God visible, to make Christ visible, and it's always for the common good. The Greek verb for is given denotes present continual tense. So I love this. It's not like you get a gift and then it's gone. It's a case of I'm going to continually give you gifts, and so that you can continually make me visible everywhere you go. Wow, what a privilege, what an honor. Yeah, as we receive those gifts from God, and as we're open to receive those gifts, we will make Christ visible wherever we go. And in this, sort of the beginning bit of this chapter 12, there are three Greek words used to describe the use of gifts. I think you know the first one, charismata. Yeah, have you heard of that before? You know, we get charisma from it, yeah, in English. But it denotes the source of the gifts is divine grace becoming concrete in a person's life through the gifts given. God's grace. In other words, his charis, his grace, will be made visible through our charismata, in other words, our gift. Yeah? The gifts are from God, they do not originate from the person. Yeah, this person has the gift of prophecy. Well, actually, you do have the gift of prophecy, but it's from God. Yeah, it's never I've got the gift of prophecy. It's a case of God has given me the gift of prophecy for to manifest his visible grace and love to others. The second word is diaconia, and this is where we get the word deacon from. In other words, how God is describing, or how Paul is describing the gifts here, he's saying the point of the gifts is to minister and provide service for others. They're about ministry and service. And the Greek original word, diaconia, means to be in haste. So it comes from that verb. And in other words, it means eager readiness to serve. And I think this is fascinating. I don't know about if you wake up every morning, I know you look at the sky and love the Lord and just think of his beautiful creation. But as you're looking at the sky, are you like, okay, Lord, what gifts you got for me today? Where do you want me to use them? And in haste, you get up and off you go. That's how Paul's describing them. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I find this challenging. Yeah. And no wonder we get so bogged down in our day-to-day business, don't we? We're not saying, okay, Lord, I'm up for the gifts. I'm up for what you've got for me. I really want to spread your love and your grace to everybody. And that's why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he was having a rough ride in Ephesus sometime, you know, his sort of disciple. He's saying, rekindle the gifts that God has given you, that are within you. And I do believe that that's a word for us this morning. It's a word for us to say, what gifts has God given you in the past that you've forgotten about, that you're not using at this present moment in time? You know, quite a few people receive the gift of tongues. And the point of the gift of tongues, it tells you in this passage and beyond, it says that the point of the gift of tongues is so that you can edify your spirit. But if you're not using the gift of tongues, guess what's not happened to your spirit? What about if you've got the gift of prophecy and you're not bringing the words of God that are meant to be coming to your friends, to your family, to businesses, to the church? Can you see? Yeah? Can we rekindle whatever gifts you've got? If you've got the gifts of help, you will notice when somebody else needs help. Yeah? And you will be spiritually know exactly what you're meant to do. But can you imagine the fact that when we don't use that, we're not rekindling that gift that we have within us? So the Greek words are about grace. They are about ministry and service. And the last one, energimata, the gifts bring about definite effects, outworkings. When we exercise the gift, God himself is doing something through that person, and we have concrete results. You may not see it. You know, a number of times I've given a word to somebody. I remember your son. I gave him a word, Joshua. And I said, Joshua, you know, I have a word for you, but one day you're going to be a leader. And suddenly he said, oh, I remember, like ages ago, this woman in Sainsbury's, I think it was, not our Sainsbury's, do you know what I mean, when you're up in London, he actually, you know, had given him a word to say exactly the same thing. Yeah? And if that woman had not done that, we wouldn't have seen Joshua not only, you know, start listening to what I was saying, but come and join an alpha and come to know Jesus. Yeah, because somebody a long time ago had been willing to use the gift that they had in Sainsbury's of all places. When we are open to regularly use the spiritual gifts divinely given to us, something spiritual will happen, even if we don't see it at that moment in time. It took years before Joshua was able to recognize that that was God's word to him. So we've actually got two protocols within here, but we've already done two protocols. Can you remember the two? Yeah, testing by being informed. Well done, Jenny. What was the second one? Isn't it amazing how we need review? Be informed, yeah, is the first one. And with that, we're testing, we're looking. Remember, it will always be in the way, the wills, and the word of God. Protocol two, discern the spiritual gifts from God. In other words, this is a talent, this is a gift. Discern what you have and how to use them. Protocol three we've been looking at here. Be eager and ready to use the gifts God has given to us for ministry and service in and beyond the church, and four, expect something spiritual to happen. Do you remember in our last prayer meeting that we had together, I brought in some sticks, some bars, and I said, can you hold it up? And I was really impressed with everybody because they held them up while I was still talking. I didn't expect them to sort of hold them up and to keep going like this for ages. But the idea is, hold up the bar. Can we raise the bar of our expectations as a church? Can we raise the bar of what we're expecting to happen when we operate in the gifts, when we pray, when we are working with God? I'm just deciding whether to hold off the next ones. No, I want to finish. So I've got a couple more points, but I'm going to give you one, and then I'm going to be quiet. I just want to end on this last one. Use the gifts. When we looked at verse 8 to 10, it says, to one there is given the spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking to different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And later in the passage, it talks about apostles, prophets, and teachers. There's a good list here of the different gifts. But I want to end today by saying, can you imagine the impact of the healthy and appropriate use of God-given gifts in our church and beyond? You see, the gift of administration will affect our structures and systems and will honor God through the way that we conduct our systems and structures. They will bring about righteousness, justice, and healing to our hurting world. Can you imagine an NHS that had the gifts of the spirit of administration running it? Can you imagine a government that had the gifts of administration, or a local government or your parish council operating in this gift? Can you imagine education operating in this gift? Oh Lord, please come. Please give people these gifts. Can you imagine that our prayers of intercession will be so powerful that we will see God's kingdom come within, among, and around us? Can you imagine a place where people will always feel encouraged and pastorally cared for? Can you imagine a church where the leaders will hear from God through prophecy or words of knowledge and wisdom? And they will be able to discern what God is saying in their decision making. Can you imagine a church that is always hospitable, giving to others, faith so full that our prayers are phenomenal? Can you imagine a church where words of knowledge are given that always are for the common good, that build each other up? Can you imagine a church where people spot before the need is even asked for what the need is and help one another in mercy? Can you imagine a place where people's spirits are constantly being edified through the gift of tongues? Can you imagine a place where we see healing and miracles taking place? Can you imagine a place where the good news of God's kingdom and the message of how to be saved will be heard by many, and people will respond? Friends, brothers, sisters, this is what a healthy, growing church looks like. This is the use, and I haven't mentioned even all the gifts there, I've just mentioned a handful. This is what happens when the gifts of the Spirit are used. Do we want to be that kind of church? Yeah, I certainly do. So let's conclude. Protocol 1, be informed, test. Protocol 2, discern our spiritual gifts given from God. Protocol 3, be eager and ready to use the gifts God has given us for ministry and service in and beyond the church. Protocol 4, expect something spiritual to take place. I've saved number 5 for next week. You know what? Once we can start imagining something, we get a vision for it, we get a picture for it, it's amazing how the Lord will help us move towards it. And so my prayer is that we can continue to imagine what this looks like.